A new era of Baylor quarterbacks starts now. Blake Shapen named the starter for 2022. What are the odds that he could be the best quarterback in the Big 12? And what does this Baylor offense need to do from a coaching staff and personnel standpoint to put him in that position? Or is he even good enough to be in that position? This is Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, we now welcome in Cameron Stewart, a local news guy to Locked On Baylor. Thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every week. I'm Drake Toll of Sikkim 365. Cam, this has been one of, if not the most, wildest offseason weeks in recent Baylor memory.
Yeah, it's even more wild than that outfit you got on because you look like a rocket right now, by the way. Good to be back. Thank you for having me. We talked about this off air, how it could be a struggle for content this time of year. Baylor's like, nah, we got you. Mm-hmm. Hold our Dr. Pepper. We got you. What a week. What a week. I mean, you didn't think this would be like your most jammed 2 weeks of the show so far.
No.
But I was stunned. I was stunned. I know Dave Aranda's a great guy, and he did it almost a week before the May 1st deadline. Naming the starter. So, but still stunned to hear it. Stunned to hear it this far. I thought we were going to hear it like 2 days before the Albany game, to be honest with you. But I love it. I love it. Let's bring it on. Hot stove.
I love that it is a quarterback. I would have loved it either way. And I think if you make what's weird, here's how much better Blake Shapen. I just had this thought. Here's how much better Blake Shapen was than Gary Bohannon. If you start Gary Bohannon, Blake probably doesn't transfer because he's going to ride the bench for a year and then be the starter for two seasons. Now, in this scenario, you name Blake the starter, you're auto-transferring Gary. So instead of having a year where you go with maybe your less favorite option and keep Blake Shapen in-house, now instead, you name Shapen your starter, Gary's gone. Dude, what a move from Dirty Dave.
It's crazy. And remember my semi-viral tweet, maybe the most viral tweet I've ever had. This is about like three retweets. I think this says a lot about Kyren Drones. You're a big Kyren Drones stan, big fan, and maybe you pulled some strings on this. But to me, that says, all right, look, this kid has got the potential. Like, we want him in this program, basically, which I don't think they necessarily thought the opposite about Jacob Zeno, but clearly he wasn't really going to fit into their system with all the struggles under Larry Fedora. He didn't really get a sniff. And so for them, it's like, all right, this kid's going to play. We don't want him to leave. We want him in the system, and he's ready to step in an emergency role or will be ready by the end of August. And that's – if you're seeing that and letting a guy like Gary go, you're saying that's a guy who could start for us down the line. Could. You know, it's still very early in his career. So I think it says a lot about Kyren Drones, but also about Blake Shapen, who I am also a stan of. I love Gary, too. I sat next to Gary in Earth Science. And
yeah, you did. I remember
it was a great time. I wish I could tell some of the funny things on this podcast that he said. Very funny guy. But I thought they were going to be good either way with either guy at the wheel. And I am excited, though, to see what Shapen is going to do for sure. I was a big Charlie Brewer guy, too. And I think he's Charlie and a little bit more, if we're being honest.
I will hope that he is a little bit more than Charlie Brewer because Charlie was great and led Baylor to a Sugar Bowl, but did not have the gumption to win it. So hopefully Shapen's in a position to do just that, like Gary Bohannon did, who will be inevitably with a new team probably on Monday. The next time we record a podcast, Gary Bohannon is likely in a different jersey. And now when Baylor is pit with a new starting QB in 2022, the question poses itself, how good is Gary Bohannon? No, Blake Shapen. In comparison to the rest of the Big 12. So some names that have been thrown around in the offseason as being solid quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel, the UCF transfer to Oklahoma. Quinn Ewers is up there. Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State. I've never seen him be good, but apparently he has been at times. Adrian Martinez, gosh dang, Chandler Morris. JT Daniels is one of those guys. Donovan Smith, Tyler Shuck, Tanner Shuck. It's one of the two. So what right now, full body of work, there are much better quarterbacks in the Big 12, like a Spencer Sanders who started 3 years. His stats say he's better than Blake Shapen. What does Blake Shapen have to do to be the best QB in the league next year? Because Gary Bohannon was pretty darn solid before he got hurt.
Well, if he does what he did the last couple of games the last season, I think he probably will be right in that discussion. I don't know. JT Daniels is such a big recruit and everything, and Dylan Gabriel had a good career at UCF. Adrian Martinez and Spencer Sanders to me are the same person, and they both stink. And yeah. haven't seen Quinn Ewers do anything. And I'm, you know, it's another guy who's really highly rated out of high school, blah, blah, blah. He could be a great quarterback for all I know. But you mentioned the 17 straight completions, the stadium record, the stadium name that you change every time you mention it. Dallas Cowboys Stadium, Dallas Stadium, State of Texas Stadium, whatever. We saw the flash, man, and he just got better every game. And that's kind of the guy we were promised.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it, that's a guy who, like Charlie at his best, could complete probably around 70% of his passes, which is really good, and he protects the ball. I think he's just, I mean, this isn't a hot take, sneaky good runner, but we're not going to see a ton of that. And the kid's got some zip, Drake. That's the, I think, the big difference between him and Chuck. Chuck didn't have a lot of mustard on that ball. I think Blake really can. And we saw a lot of that, especially in that Oklahoma State game. He's got the touch, too. He's got the touch. I just think, again, we don't have so much to go off of.
Right.
But he just seems like the prototype. He really does. Pocket passer with a little bit of legs in there. Kind of like, I mean, not what Quinn Ewers was in high school, but that same kind of prototype. Is that making sense?
No, he's got a hell of a deep ball.
Like Quinn Ewers, like a five star, so I'm not gonna say he is like that, but kind of that prototypical. That
he's
build,
Baylor's
that,
version of Quinn Ewers. Is that what you're going with? He's a Baylor Quinn Ewers. Well,
yeah, I mean, we had the Baylor Shane Buechele, and that worked out pretty well for us. So,
and people have made the comparison between Blake Shapen and Zach Wilson already. Now Shapen stands at 6 foot tall, 192 pounds. It's the funniest thing. Oh, this is insider baseball. So I get to go to a couple spring practices as you know, they open to media. The funniest
media
thing,
guy, man, Big J. Yeah.
They have this drill where you ever played baseball before with your dad?
I did. No. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. That was my best baseball. Yeah.
Whew. Well, they roll, you have the hitting screens, right?
Yep.
They take basically a baseball hitting screen and put it in front of the quarterbacks, and you have to throw the ball over this hitting screen as not to hit that, you know, the top metal part and still get the ball on a zip to the wide receiver. And I call it the Blake Shapen drill because he, of the four quarterbacks, was the one that really you're like, is he going to get it over? Because he's 6 foot tall. With an offensive line that is massive. Baylor's O-line is one of the best in the Big 12. And that's why I think Blake Shapen, I've got to retrain my flipping brain. That's why I think Blake Shapen can be the best quarterback in the Big 12 next year, because a lot of quarterbacks are only as good as their offensive line. And Blake Shapen has
a pretty good offensive line.
Might I say elite offensive line.
That's fair. Yeah. And I like the Zach Wilson point because Sheehan wrote about that. I don't know how to say his last name. Very sorry, Sheehan. I do like following his coverage, though. Love it, actually. Jay Raja, did I say that right? I don't know.
You nailed that. You Don't even try it again. You nailed it.
All right. We'll just go with it. It's probably totally wrong. But he was like, well, you know, Blake Shapen's the guy who fits the build of Zach Wilson and the arm strength of Zach Wilson a little bit better, and that was the guy who Jeff Grimes had a ton of success with. So I think that did factor in, and now it's going to be interesting because it was such an RVO last year. It was so effective at most of the season. And I don't think we're going to see a lot of that now, just based off that one sentence that Sheehan wrote. I think we're going to see a little bit of a different look, and I'm excited for it. Maybe that's what put Blake over the top.
Well, Gary Bohannon threw for 2,200 yards last year, ran for 9 touchdowns, threw for 18, 27 touchdown guy. Blake Shapen has never once thrown an interception as a collegiate quarterback, so he at least has that over who threw a few. People don't, he is not, Blake Shapen has not thrown an interception since high school. And you're about to tell me you don't want him to be your starter? Of course, he had great flash plays, has a better upside to me than Gary Bohannon. 72% completion percentage. How about this? He's completed 62 of his 86 collegiate passes. That's just a wild thing to me. Has that facility record at the Stadium of Texas, or Texas Stadium for those that want to know. Oklahoma State, he wins the Big 12 championship. Texas Tech, he comes in, throws for 250, two touchdowns, does what they ask him to do. He mans the ship against Kansas State, makes a big fourth down play as well. So, yes, Blake Shapen, good quarterback. The question was, can he be the best quarterback in the Big 12?
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, because he's in a Big 12 that is a new look. Big 12 from a quarterback standpoint next season. There are a lot of different battles like Texas Tech and TCU that are going on right now. So the answer is yes, because his offensive line's so good and he has a higher upside. But with the higher upside, you also have, you know, your highs are high, your lows are low. Will we see that from Shapen? We'll see. I want to get to Cam, and I feel like we talk for hours about Blake Shapen and his upside.
I know. I'm revved up for it.
I got to cut myself off because now we have learned that Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida will be joining the Big 12. And maybe BYU.
BYU. That's
and
definitely.
BYU are joining the Big 12 in 2023-24. We're going to have a 14-team league in this conference. But before we talk about the 14-team league, I need to tell everybody out there about our sponsor today, Built Bar. I have said this a million times. I will say it until I die or until I stop working at Locked On Baylor, which will be a long, long time from now, probably because I've died. Built Bar is the best thing that has happened to me after working at Locked On. My boss is going to hear that. They may hate me for it, but it's true because Built Bar, I have now learned, is like a candy bar, but not in the best way. So Built Bar only has it has like 130 calories compared to a candy bar. It's 240. Built Bar, 4 carbs, candy bar, 30, right? Or that's grams of sugar. Built Bar, 4 grams of sugar, candy bar, 30. Just vast disparity between the two. And Built Bar, way better for you. And tastes really good. They have these Built Bar puffs that are solid. They have these like marshmallowy, like this. They've got the banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate. So right now, go to built.com. All right, go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. If you don't know how to spell it, it's LOCKED 15. Get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. All right, Cameron, I hope you had a good nap, and yes. Congratulations to the 4 new schools that are moving to the Big 12, BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston, and they're doing it real darn soon, and boy, howdy, we're going to have a 14-team league, not for long, but at least for a little bit.
That's going to be wild. Do we need to do division predictions or what?
My first question, is this the part of the show where Oklahoma and Texas are like, okay, fine, we'll leave?
Yeah.
Do they do it? Does the Big 12 see 14 or does it stay at 12 because OU and Texas are like, we don't want to play with those teams. We'll pony up, pay the money, and leave.
I mean, I don't think the teams have anything to do with it. I think they want out so bad. Like, as soon as they do get the money, they'll be out. I think so. But
they don't have the money, you think?
Well, that's the story, right? I mean, because... Yeah. All right, so Cincinnati comes in. That's a playoff team from last year and a pretty good program the last couple of years. I mean, these are all actually good programs like that have been in the top 25 the last couple of years. UT sees that, and they're like, oof, we can maybe win one of those games if we played all 4. But it's going to be the same thing in the SEC West. So
yeah,
to me, it makes no difference, really. So I don't think so. I think they stay in the 2 years, and we just get a wild couple of years.
Oh, boy, I hope so.
And right, that'd be 2 football seasons, right? 23 and 24.
Yeah, 23 and 24.
Because they'll be out in like July 25.
They leave 25. So you're going to get Texas playing, which, yeah, if you did it, you divvied out into divisions. I think the new 4 are probably, that would just be nuts. I don't even want to go there. That's just like a headache.
That's a lot to think about.
It's a headache in itself. But you get 2 years of football seasons where Texas is playing in Provo, Utah for one of those, inevitably. That just sounds amazing to me. The Big 12 expansion.
Well, especially the last time they went there, it sounds amazing to me.
Yeah.
That was a 41-7 Brigham Young victory, by the way.
Yes, it was. A win for the Mormons. A win for the Mormons.
Just in case y'all forgot, it's like 2012.
That's going to be, I'm so excited and ready for BYU to be here, mostly because I think the rivalry with Baylor that comes out of being 2 religious universities is going to be so special and also so cordial. They came to Waco last year, and it was far and away the largest fan base that brought a group to Waco for a football game, beat out Texas even. I mean, Oklahoma. BYU fans were literally everywhere. It was 60-40 Baylor fans.
They are
still,
everywhere.
They yeah. are. They are. That San Antonio.
They look just like you and me.
To go on mission. You would never know. You would never know. You're walking down the street. Yeah. You're probably passing hundreds of BYU fans every day. Every day. Normal people. And that in itself, the luster of that and having them here that quickly. Bring me BYU on a silver platter. I'm going to Provo next year.
I want to go so bad. That's the thing I'm thinking of because I'm a big soccer fan, and they talk about when they play in like European competitions, like the away days. That's a great one. Provo. Utah in general, just beautiful.
Bars close at 9.
And yeah, they also, it's not great. Still better than Orlando overall.
Yeah.
But I just think that's going to be great. And you saw, I mean, you talk about the cordiality. They had those stickers all over the businesses in downtown Waco that was like, welcome, Mormon friends, but just put the BYU logo instead. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, Cincinnati is so good. So good. What a pro. I mean, BYU, what a program, by the way. I mean, every couple of years we're talking about them in the top 15 or so. They're consistently very good. They came in as a ranked team last year when Baylor had to put it down on them. But, I mean, that's good football you're bringing in here. And I know they're not the names. You know, they're not Texas or OU. But let's be frank. I mean, they're better than Texas, at least. And the four of them together, you can put a playoff team in there every couple of years the way OU did. So.
Or let's be Drake.
That's just good football, Drake, okay? That's all I'm trying to say. It's good football.
We can say, look at the UCF's coming in with Gus Malzahn.
National champions.
You're adding a national champion with Gus Malzahn in the mix. He won one as an offensive coordinator at Auburn. And lost one as a head coach. So you add in Gus Malzahn, you add in Dana Holgorsen, who is the objectively worst. But he's got Baylor's number too, which sucks. Baylor's going to inevitably lose to Dana Holgorsen because it just happens randomly when you don't want it to most. Cincinnati is a playoff team. And then last but not least, obviously BYU has something really unbelievable going on in Provo, a movement, if you will, going on in Provo that's coming to Waco.
Something like that, yeah.
And so all that put together, I am so freaking excited for these guys to move in. That was we just gave you a whole segment, for those that are listening, we just gave you a whole segment of zero content, zero insight, you didn't learn
just,
anything
it's
new.
It's like we just figured it out like seconds ago, and it's just our raw reactions to it.
I think I did. I think like it's setting into me what's going to change. And it makes me want to stay in Waco for a few more years and cover Baylor and see Luke Fickell come to town.
And some winnable basketball games, by the way.
Very winnable basketball games.
Houston's tough. That's a good one to bring in, but
winnable softball basketball games, winnable baseball games, which we need right now pretty desperately, honestly.
Does BYU play baseball?
Yeah, they do. I do believe they do because they have.
Hey, Cincinnati has a Hall of Famer in their alumni, by the way.
So does every other school, pretty much.
One in like the last century, not like.
Oh, okay, yeah, because baseball's existed for a long time.
Who's Andy Koufax, by the way, went to Cincinnati. Kevin Youkilis too.
Really,
you're into that kind of thing? Yeah,
I am. Well, you know what I'm also into? The ladies basketball. Baylor women's basketball has added a couple of new pieces in the transfer portal. And you got it. Look, we haven't talked about them all week because there's been so much football stuff going on. But women's basketball is big, especially at Baylor. So we're going to break down the new additions for Nikki Collin. But first, I want to tell you, goodbye, Cam, for just a second, only a second. I want to tell you folks about betonline.net. So it's the NBA playoffs that are going on right now. I'm not a big NBA guy myself. So to get into NBA, I cannot admit this on air. To get into the NBA, sometimes I put some, responsibly put some fiscal dollars and whatnot onto these games. And so that makes me really, once your money is invested, you become invested in the game. So you can get invested in not just the NBA, but also Major League Baseball and the NFL draft as it goes on at betonline.net. So you can take a guy like Terrell Bernard, go to betonline.net and say like, oh, will he be picked over under, pick number 130. That's not accurate, but go look at it and make your pick. So BetOnline is a continued source for all sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Easy access. Learn about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Cam, boom. Guess
you really should have used Jalen Petrie as an example. Sorry, I'm wearing my Jalen Petrie to manifest.
You are
the second round of the draft tonight.
We are, big, gonna be a big second round tonight. Last night's first round,
excellent,
nuts.
Excellent,
dude. Could you believe?
I bummed that Jalen Petrie wasn't taken. But how electric was that? Best TV event of the year.
I thought the moment, which everybody's talking about, the moment, dude. You can't.
When they brought up that weird tweet the guy had.
Oh, and of course it went viral because it was awkward. It was so.
And that other guy who had the tragedy in his life, but he's overcome it.
Uh huh.
And to get to where he is today, that's awesome.
Nuts. It's insane how
his dad died. The name or who
crazy
he went to or what
how
pick,
his but... dad died in the weirdest way, too. Like, yeah. He was just like, you're expecting, like, oh, you know, got hit by a train or something. But no, this was nuts.
And that guy who was like negative 2 stars out of high school.
Yep. Played six-man football. Live Oak. Yeah. You know he went to Live Oak?
No way. Really?
Yep. They didn't include that in the package. He went to Live Oak.
I thought
Oak
he was a Garden City Bearcat.
First round draft pick, 6-man football, Live Oak. Crazy draft. But
first round.
What's even crazier is 2 new transfers for Baylor University. The first being Dre Edwards. Dre Edwards coming from Kentucky. And one of the coolest things ever, she hit the 3-pointer that knocked off South Carolina. Like, she has played in some big time games in college basketball and now brings her talent to Waco.
That was in a championship game, by the way, SEC championship game. I think anytime you're a women's basketball program and you have a pedigree of beating South Carolina, that's a good thing. Probably. But more importantly, you know that meme where it's like the two people looking out the sides of the buses and one's happy, one's not. And it's like
one's a mountain,
the baseball
one's
statistical
the
nerds, and the other's like he got that dog in him. For watching games, she's just a baller. She's just a baller. She got that
dog
in her.
Putting her right down the middle. Down the middle.
No, she's got that dog in her. Like, she's just a baller. Like, we can look at the stats. Stats are great. She averages, what is it, over 16 a game?
16 points a game. Yeah.
Just watch it. She's a baller.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you can say she's a baller. I'm going to go on the other side of the two-sided coin, not dichotomy, and say that not only is she got that dog in her, but she also played 29 minutes a game last season for Kentucky, averaged 16.8 points, 8 rebounds, almost 2 assists, a steal, a block, turned the ball over 2.5 times, not the best, 3 fouls per game, too. She's a physical forward. Probably don't want her controlling the basketball, but she can score.
That's important in today's game because they did that thing now where when you score more points at the end of the team, you win. Right. So I think that's really important. But genuinely, a gal who is – this is her third program now. And we talked about it with the men's team about bringing transfers in, guys that you can just plug in right away, not your Dale Bonners or D'Antuan Grimes, if I said that right.
Yes.
Not those kind of players. Those are great to develop and everything. But with what you're losing for the LBs, the formerly known as the LBs, to bring in someone with those kind of stats that can just play right away and play it at a high level, important.
Let me ask you this. My last question that I want to give you on the new transfer for Baylor University. And then we'll get to another new transfer from Stanford. These schools have what in common? Alabama, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Missouri, Auburn, Mississippi State again, LSU, Tennessee, and South Carolina.
Those literally all play in the Southeastern Conference.
Oh, nice. Anything else you'd like to go with there?
Don't make me pull out the acceptance rate thing.
I don't want to do that. Those are the last 10 regular season, the last few regular season games into the SEC tournament that Kentucky played last season, winning 10 straight before making it to the NCAA postseason, beating all of those teams, mind you, number 6 LSU, number 18 Tennessee, number 1 South Carolina, all included. Who led that charge? Dre Edwards. Dre, welcome to Waco. Welcome someone else to Waco. Jana.
Say it. Get it.
Van Guytenbeek.
Ooh. Nailed it. Don't even need to say it again.
Greenwood Village, Colorado's own. 5'7", went to Cherry Creek High School. She's an undeclared major at Stanford, which is smart, honestly. It's what you want to be. You got to figure it out. Cam, what is your, you know, talk about like the mental, the physical side of the game. What's your assessment?
All right. So Anna? I don't want to show my hair too much because it's gross. You might see that this hat says Mojo, the 7th flag over Texas if you're listening on the podcast. But what I call it is my YouTube mixtape analyst hat. And let me tell you, Jana's high school mixtape, fantastic. This one. Oh, yeah. She's like doing layup lines and at the free throw line, they're playing Remember the Name by Fort Minor, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
If you can believe it. And there were some actual game highlights in some of them. And let me tell you, I mean, this is 2 years ago as a high schooler because she barely played at Stanford, but has the bling to show for it, I believe. I think we can double check that. Believe she won the national championship as a freshman at Stanford. But smooth game, Drake. That's what jumped off the page for me. A smooth game. Not this lights out shooter. And that showed in the stats too. I think she only shot in toto like 35% from the floor. But she's admitted plenty of times that in all the interviews I watched about her, that she is a pass first point guard, good size on her and a smooth game. So I like that. But this might be a little bit of a project. This is not like a D2 transfer, but this is someone who, you know, played in an elite program, but didn't play a ton. So yes. I don't know that she steps right in and is your ball handler, but she could. So, I don't know.
Jaden Owens, reminiscent of Jaden Owens for me, because Jaden Owens comes in from UCLA, didn't play a ton there, kind of a project under Kim Mulkey for the first year, and now has really started to come into her own under Nikki Collins. So this same player, though, our friend Jana Van Guytenbeek did it again. She won a state title for her high school. You know how I know that? Not only is it online, you can find it there.
It is on the internet. Yeah,
my roommate, who I live with, who is downstairs right now as I'm recording this podcast, went to high school with her, knows her, actually knows her in real life. And he also knows that last season against number 8 Arizona, big game, right? You want to win that game. It's a top 10 team. She hit 6 three-pointers, had 18 points and a steal in 28 minutes against the number 8 team in the country. Now, Cam, you've never played women's college basketball.
I haven't yet.
Is that good?
It's not bad. I know someone who played on the Dream Team, and they would say the same thing. It's not bad.
You want to know something wild? Just wild. This, here's the deal, folks. This is the, I think we're 25 shows in. That's a month of shows. We've given you, this is the 1 month anniversary of Locked On Baylor. Thank you. This is maybe the wildest statistic that's ever been given. Our objective is to entertain.
I got to stop you there. Wildest statistic or wildest thing said? Because the Seth Russell GOAT discussion was the wildest thing I've ever heard on any podcast.
But this is wildest statistic for sure. Okay. The Seth Russell thing from Evan.
I just wanted to bring that up. I needed time to bring that up. I was on like a week after that. That was wild.
Yes. The wildest statistic is that our friend, Jana, she made 18 shots last year. 17 of her 18 shots made across the scope of the season were three-pointers. She shot the ball 18 times.
Look.
And it went in. 17 of them were from behind the arc. That's just consistency.
To get into Stanford, you got to know math.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, when you step behind that line, Drake, that's three. The other shots are two. Pretty simple to me. She's about value.
I have chills.
That's about value.
One of the single most nuts stats I can remember. Like, I get it. You know, there are wilder things that exist in this world. But that, she only made 18 shots in her sophomore season at Stanford. But the fact that that wide of a margin was from behind the arc. You're telling me she couldn't get a rebound and an and one. She couldn't drive the paint and put it up and in. No. If she got a rebound, wide open down low for a layup, God, if she's not dribbling that four times.
She's Ben Simmonsing that. She's kicking it out to someone else.
Yeah. Or she's missing it. Or she's just going to dribble it right back out and shoot a three. And nail
I can't wait to face. Get. We need to pick her brain on the podcast about that.
Yes.
I think maybe it's more complex than my understanding of it. But to me, three is better than two. Maybe and winning the Heisman Trophy should make you better than a guy who could have won the Heisman Trophy.
So I am almost positive. I'm right. Tara Vanderveer is her head coach at Stanford. You think Tara was like, listen, when you get in the game, if you shoot the ball, it better be a three. Like, just had this scathing talk pregame. Like, you touch that basketball and shoot a two, you are gone. You're transferring to Baylor. And you think that 18th shot that she made was the one?
She was wide open. No one near. Takes one step, one had dribble inside the three-point arc. No, like Nathan Scott in that episode of One Tree Hill.
Yeah.
Looking straight at her as she shoots it. It doesn't matter if it goes in or not, but she took two. She's like.
And then she swishes it. And it wins the game. But Tara Vanderveer doesn't care. Pack your bags. You're leaving. You're never coming back.
She just walks off the court.
I needed this today. This is far and away the weirdest episode of Locked On Baylor that's ever existed. But I wanted it No butt talks today. No butt talks today. Well, we talked a lot of women's basketball.
We did.
So you can't. There's a line. There is a line. So next week we'll talk about
we're trying to have some class here.
And we'll go butt talk. But But, thank you for watching or listening to Locked On Baylor today. Come back on Monday because we will likely know where Gary Bohannon is transferring Monday, and we can dissect that and break that down. So, also, Locked On NFL Draft is still happening. It's still going on because the NFL Draft's happening all weekend. We have live coverage too, so check that out. Locked On NFL on YouTube as well as Odyssey podcast listening site for our live coverage and Lock On NFL Draft recaps as well. As always, I always have been. I hopefully always will be Drake Toll. And this is Cameron Stewart, a local news guy. So thanks for
LOB
spending your Friday with us at Locked On Baylor. We'll see you again Monday. It's been a heck of a month. You're only allowed one heck of a semester at Baylor. So that's my first, my only. Yeah.
There's only one thing to say to end this now that we're approaching the end of the month. And the next time we come on, it will be the next month.
Okay.
Drake, you're showing your age here. It's going to be May.
Nice.
It's gonna be May.
That was good. Nicely done. Very nicely done. Well, thanks again for listening to Locked On Baylor or watching it wherever you're watching or listening from. Thank you. This has been from your senior class vice president who ran unopposed himself, Locked On Baylor.